This podcast is brought to you by Clark Morgan, assisting multinational companies across Asia Pacific develop their talent since 2001. Hi everyone, my name's Murray Morgan and welcome to Evolving People, the podcast from Clark Morgan. I'm joined today with Pat McDonald. How are you, Pat?
I'm fine, thanks, Murray.
Very good, and you're sitting in the Shanghai office, I believe.
Correct.
And I believe you're a very busy man these days. You've been traveling around Asia and working with a number of clients from all regions. A couple of them off the top of my head, Rollenberger and Volkswagen from Germany. Mm-hmm. I believe a couple of French companies, or at least one.
Carrefour, Monin.
Fantastic. And I believe American companies as well. Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, is that right? Mm-hmm. So you're a man of many nationalities. You walk into these big firms and assist in the development of their team. I believe recently you were even in Malaysia.
That's correct. I was in Kuala Lumpur a few weeks ago. First time there. It was nice and interesting.
Good. That was a French company. Monin doesn't immediately come to the front of my mind. What type of company
are
they?
Well, if you ever get a flavored coffee from Costa Coffee, or you go to a place like Pizza Hut and get one of their lemonades or their iced teas, there's a good probability that the fruit flavors that were used to go and make these drinks were made by Monin.
And what were you doing with Monin in Kuala Lumpur?
Well, what they were doing is they were having their regional board meeting, regional sales meeting, where the different salespeople would come in and go and give their country reports. And they use this as an opportunity to go and help enhance the different representatives throughout Asia Pacific in their different sorts of sales presentation tools and techniques.
So you're based in Shanghai, but in your experience from this and other regional trainings that you've done, how do Malaysians differ that you train?
When I try and use my Chinese jokes, it doesn't really go over because even though lots of Malaysians are ethnically Chinese, they don't actually speak the language.
Who was in your class?
Well, since this was the regional sales meeting, I had people from Indonesia, people from Vietnam, from Thailand, from Malaysia, and also from China and Japan.
Oh, a wide range. And given your experience with China, and you've been in China, I dare say, around 15 or 16 years. Is that accurate?
I first moved to China in 1998, but I've lived here for a total of 11 years.
11 years. And so you've obviously got a lot of experience in China and no doubt a lot of Chinese jokes as well. How did you find teaching a group of Southeast Asians compared to Chinese?
Even though I'm from a Western European country, they might look more Chinese, I couldn't go and use any of my culturally relevant Chinese jokes, or I couldn't use Mandarin while I was doing the training. It was actually kind of interesting because someone from another group actually saw my name card, and my name card says Shaolong, which is little dragon. Mm. And so she read that out in Chinese, but the person from Indonesia thought that she said Shalom, and so she asked whether I was Jewish or not.
Right, which is hello,
yes.
I think, Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So already in your training, which was related to sales and influencing and communication, you were having a miscommunication even just on your
yes.
name. For those who are listening to this podcast who do work across the Southeast Asian area and in Asia Pacific, perhaps the greater region, you can see how difficult it is communicating across different cultures, even with just someone's mm-hmm. name or saying hello. So in a classroom setting that you were in, and going perhaps let's focus on, again, your China experience, what were some of the key differences you saw between the way that Chinese learn and the way the other Asians in your group, and it was a very small sample size, of course, of 7 people, but was there some obvious differences that you noticed?
Obvious differences is just a wider variety of examples that they could give. I had people from Tokyo, people from Vietnam, and of course, you've got that's two different extremes, where Vietnam is really, really at one end of the developing economy, and then you've got Japan, which is at the other extreme.
Mm.
And so listening and having their conversations and when they're giving examples of how they would approach different people to go and introduce the concepts and introduce their different solutions to their customers, they would have a different technique in which they would go and actually interact with their customers.
The Japanese on one end, Vietnamese on the other. As a leader, if you're scope includes, geographically includes, places like Japan, Vietnam, and then all the countries. I think there's around 50 or so Asian countries, but in terms of Southeast Asia, there's probably a good 15 or so. What's some of the advice that you would give?
So one of the techniques which I like to do is to go and ask open questions and show people the power of open questions and the different sorts of humor of actually listening to people. So, for example, about 25% of the time, after introducing myself to someone from China, and I've told them that I've lived here for 11 years, inevitably a proportion of the people will go and say, "Can you use chopsticks?" And I just go and say, I knew how to learn chopsticks before I came to China. In my small town in Indiana, 20,000 people, 2 McDonald's, 1 KFC, 8 Chinese restaurants.
And an Irish pub, I'm sure. There's always an Irish pub in every town next to every Chinese restaurant.
We're a little bit too Protestant for that, but no Irish pubs. Small town, Indiana.
But 8 Chinese restaurants.
Well, that's the point, or like the other follow-up is, do you like Chinese food? And I ask, well, do you like Chinese food? And they say, of course, I'm Chinese. And then I follow up, do you like all kinds of Chinese food? And then they get a look on their face and it's like, no, of course not. Then I say, well, I'm the same way. Some Chinese food I like, some Chinese food I do not like. Do not feed me chicken feet. And that usually gets a laugh. So,
and
is building rapport, going in, finding things which you have in common, and finding out things that are interesting and unique.
You might want to tell these people who are asking you that I think the U.S. exports close to 1 billion chicken feet, and maybe 500,000 pairs, so 1 billion chicken feet to China every year. It was a Freakonomics podcast I was listening to. So while
we can't put them in, we can't go and grind them up and put them in chicken sausages. So yeah, gotta get someplace.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a win-win. One man's trash is another man's delicacy.
And you know what they say about Guangzhou?
I do, but maybe the listeners don't. Maybe you want to clarify that.
They eat everything with 4 legs except for a table.
That is something they're proud of, I believe.
Yes, I asked, one of the things which I do is I ask people, like, what's their favorite food? And I also ask where they're from. And lots of people, favorite food was Guangdong cuisine.
Food, we're on food, obviously. Maybe it's near the end of the day there in Shanghai. It certainly is here where I am in Melbourne. And so hence the reason we're talking about food. But would you find the use of food as a very good rapport builder?
I say that it's one of the best. Everyone eats. Everyone loves food. Everyone has their favorites. Everyone has their things that they hate. You can explore it. You can find things. You tell them that you don't like something, and they can go and like laugh at you. It's like, oh, what? You don't like stinky tofu? You're nuts. And then they laugh. They feel comfortable. Food is awesome.
Well, you're absolutely right. Food is important. And I get quite surprised when I meet expats around the region, whether it be in, say, Shanghai or Hong Kong or Beijing or Singapore, where they tell me outright that they don't like the local food. Now, if I know that they don't like the local food, I'm sure all of their subordinates, their colleagues within that office also know that they don't like local food. It seems to me like they're handicapping themselves from the get-go if they're not assimilating with food.
I totally agree, and this actually did come up yesterday in my training. It's like one of my trainees was saying that, yeah, I've got some people I work with from different countries who aren't Chinese that either like they only eat vegetables, they're vegetarian, or they only eat meat, or they don't eat any Chinese food, and they're losing the opportunity of that fun, unique Chinese banquet with lots of beer and baijiu, in which you can really build the rapport and have a good time with all the people who you work with.
And talking about baijiu, and maybe you want to describe what baijiu is.
Rocket fuel. Rocket fuel alcohol.
That's what it feels like. What is it specifically, perhaps more the chemical form?
It's a sorghum-based white alcohol, which tastes like
rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Right, and it's something you drink at a banquet in small amounts or small dosages, but
small dosages, but large amounts.
Large amounts. And I noticed from internal communications within Clark Morgan that you were having a good time in Chengdu recently, which is in the west of China, with one of the embassies.
With the Australian consulate in Chengdu.
Excellent. And aside from the training, there was also a lot of rapport building afterwards.
Yes, we had dinner. One of the Chinese traditions is that everyone will get together and do a toast with each individual. So that happened. And then I took it a little bit farther. Another technique is to show that you finish your drink, you go and take your glass and upend it over the top of your head, which I did. There was a little bit still left, so I got a little bit of a beer, or actually a wine shampoo. And then we went and did some KTV, karaoke.
That being someone senior is quite normal, is it, that you drink? Because in some Western cultures, the consumption of alcohol amongst colleagues must be done sort of subdued, and bosses wouldn't publicly get drunk. I'm not suggesting you were drunk, of course, but that fun with alcohol is quite normal in China specifically.
Yes, there are gender differences, but definitely among the male population, alcohol is a big part of certain industries and getting together.
One recommendation for, say, an expat who's in the region, particularly focusing in this case on China, have a specific meal, a Chinese meal that you like, and feel confident that you don't like some, and raise chicken feet as something that you don't like, and at the same time be comfortable around alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And one of the cultural things, don't say to someone that you don't like something, especially if you're someone's house, but be indirect, retain the relationship, and say, oh, that is nice, but I like the other dish much better.
Great. Now, you just alluded to karaoke, KTV. We know it here in the West as what is it, something you do with your mates. It's embarrassing. But in China and Asia, greater Asia, because it is ultimately a Japanese phenomenon, KTV, karaoke, is critical to building rapport as well.
In many cases, yes. It's some place where people can go and relax. It's not focused around food. It's not like the Western in a bar. You can do different things and you can be a little silly.
And how would you say, as a leader, let's say, for example, you're a European or North American leader, you're in China or certainly in Asia, and you get invited to one of these events, karaoke event, with your colleagues, some junior people as well. What's your recommendation of how you should behave in this setting?
The most awesome thing you could do is to learn one single song in Chinese and be able to do that, and your staff will totally freak out and fall in love.
Wow. Okay, so you're suggesting singing lessons as part of your corporate strategy to building an organization in China.
Not even lessons, just learning the lyrics and being able to halfway pronounce it and making the effort. It's more about making the effort.
It's because often in the West, we look at Asia as quite strict hierarchy, certain roles, responsibilities of leaders, and that we shouldn't be breaking those boundaries. But this to me sounds like you're absolutely smashing the boundaries if you're having a few drinks with some subordinates, some junior staff, and making a fool out of yourself singing a song.
Well, the analogy which I use is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So what happens during these times, the next day, it didn't really happen.
But they would be actually a stronger rapport and much higher levels of respect.
Yes, definitely.
So that's probably the counter to the Las Vegas example. You probably leave Las Vegas with less respect for oneself and others. But in this sense, you're saying having a few drinks, singing songs, eating chicken feet is going to earn more respect on Monday morning.
You say it that way, I say it a different way.
Okay. So, Pat, you've lived in China on and off for 11 years. You've traveled quite extensively around the region and through Europe, I believe, also, and the US. What's the best part of being a trainer, corporate trainer, in Asia?
It's never boring. Frequently frustrating, never boring.
What are you talking about when you say never boring?
Once when I think I see it all, I can turn left down the street and I find something totally brand new, a new experience, a new restaurant, something unidentified, animal part being sold, people haggling and yelling and screaming, or at least sounds like yelling and screaming, but they're actually having fun.
It's a career that you're enjoying.
Mm-hmm. I do. Sure.
Fantastic, Pat. Well, we are almost running out of time. So you are an American. You're sitting in Shanghai, and you are actually surrounded by Chinese colleagues in mm-hmm. the Clark Morgan Shanghai office. Aside from building rapport with your trainees around Asia, how do you build rapport with your colleagues there in the office?
Well, one of the things we do is that on the last Friday of the month, we have something called Fun Friday. Mm. So a little bit earlier in the day, we break off and do something interesting. Could be something as simple as sitting around the conference room, drinking beer, eating pizza, playing different card games, to going out and playing badminton, to going to a hidden puzzle box place where you get locked into a room and have to discover these different clues to go and unlock the room and escape.
That sounds like a completely new podcast we'll have to go into. Obviously, you did escape. You're on this podcast now.
We cheated.
You cheated. Okay, great. So aside from being a trainer, you're also a trainee in some settings.
Yes.
Fantastic. I understand it is a Friday. Well, it's Friday everywhere in the world today.
It's the last Friday of the month. Fun Friday.
It's Fun Friday. So thanks very much for taking the time out of your day, for sharing some of the rapport-building skills that you use across Asia, and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. I plan on it.
You've been listening to Clark Morgan's Evolving People podcast. If you'd like to know more about developing your talent across Asia-Pacific and China, go to www.clarkmorgan.com.